We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Good to have you here in our 4 o'clock hour. We're about 20 minutes away from a name game. Oh, that's right. You want a little clue? I'll give you one. Debut. I'm done making clues. Let me give you a clue who we're going to talk to right now. His name is Brian Baldinger. You know him from all last year when we had him on. A radio.com NFL insider. Nobody breaks down the NFL film. You see him on NFL Network. He's a friend of the show if there ever was one. And he's on the Dialpad guest line right now. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Brian Baldinger joining the Damon Bruce Show. I've got Darren Smith, my pal from San Diego, up with me here today. What's going on, Brian?
Well, it's, it's that time of the year where the temperatures are near triple digits in a lot of places around the country. It's mid-July. That means training camp is right around the corner, and that's where my focus is right now, Damon.
Hey, you know, this focus for this team better be keeping Jimmy Garoppolo upright, healthy, and active for 16 games. And the only reason why I'm going to start with this, Brian, is because I know you were breaking down a little Joe Staley film on Twitter just recently. Tell me why this is the year Garoppolo plays 16 games and stays healthy and upright.
Well, I mean, nobody can predict the health here, right? So, I mean, I'd be foolish to try and do that. I'm sure that, you know, we kind of think of torn ACLs as sort of the badge of courage that you wear in the NFL. I mean, we've all kind of had one or two, and you bounce back from it. Sometimes you come back stronger. I came back from my ACL, played 14 years in college and the pros, and I never missed another day because of an ACL. I mean, Brady tore his, Manny tore his. I mean, it happens, and you come back from it. But, you know, it's the best team that Garoppolo has been, that has been around Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. I mean, they've got depth. They've built their offensive and defensive lines. They've got talent in the backfield. They've got an all-pro tight end. I mean, there's plenty to work with, plenty. And so I don't see any glaring weaknesses on this team. I mean, they've been just butchered by injuries the last 2 years, but that meant a lot of other guys have played. And so you're not looking at a great deal of inexperience anywhere on the roster. It's time to just put it together, stop turning the ball over, stop being as careless with it as any team in the league was last year, and start putting some confidence together with some early wins and go compete for the division, because it's up for grabs as far as I can see.
I like it. I like it, Brian. I really do. I'm running out of excuses for Shanahan, Lynch, Garoppolo, for it all starting
exactly
to fit together.
There is no excuses anymore.
Yeah, they got 5 first-round picks on that defensive line. Like, it was tough getting the quarterback last year and turning the ball over. It better not be this year.
Look, there were times last year, there was a stretch last year, the punter couldn't hold on to it, the running back couldn't hold on to it, the quarterback turned it over, the receivers called it. I mean, nobody could intercept a pass on the team. They had 2 the whole season. They couldn't catch a cold on defense, and they just kept turning it over on offense and special teams. And that's the formula for anybody. I don't care who's that quarterback. That's a formula to get beat in this league quicker than any other one. So, and that's just habits. It's drilling. There's just ways to protect the football. And it just has to be the number one priority of this football team right now.
Well, you said it on Twitter, the clip that Damon alluded to a little bit earlier. No problem with talent, no problem with scheme. It sounds like what you're saying here, Baldy, is that you think a lot of it is between the ears with the Niners as well. A lot of this is self-inflicted. So if I'm reading you right here, how important would a good start be for them to look up and actually see a winning record?
Well, I mean, look, a good start always helps, but it doesn't ensure that you're going to play well in December. At some point, if they're going to be a playoff contending team, they need to put a winning streak together, something they don't know none of these players have done in San Francisco. Maybe Joe Staley back in the day, but, I mean, they need to put together a 4 or 5-game win streak. Those teams that can do that at some stretch during the season, you know, generally are vying for a playoff spot in December, and that's what this league is all about, playing your best in December. And so that means whether you start the season hot or you find your stride at some point, you just have to do it. The Patriots have gotten off to average starts in September, and they figure it out, and you know what they usually do. So it doesn't, it's great if you can start off with wins, but at some point you've got to put a streak together if you want to be a playoff contending team.
Brian Baldinger here on 95.7 The Game. I could see them having Kittle be their leading receiver. He was so good, he might be the best tight end in football. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe the second leading receiver on this team might be a wide receiver out of the backfield. We know that Shanahan likes to do it, and he's got more talent to play with back there than ever. However, you got to have a wide receiver to stretch the field. We saw flashes from Dante Pettis. Debo Samuel was drafted, more of a yards after catch guy than burner. What do you think of the 49ers' downfield passing game? Have they got receivers for Garoppolo to really kind of open it up?
Well, if you go back to their five-game win streak to finish the season in 2017, Marquise Goodwin, who just won the league's fastest player in Boca Raton a couple weeks ago. I mean, if he's healthy, he can be that guy. He was that guy. And you say, well, I mean, he's not a marquee name. Well, I mean, we've seen plenty of guys in Kyle Shanahan's offense that can be featured down the field. But I think he could be that guy. Dante Pettis certainly showed flashes at the end of the season. He's got speed to burn. I think they've got enough in those two players right there to be able to stretch the field. There's going to be opportunities to go 75 yards over the top. Kyle's just too good of a schemer. And his play-action passes and that scheme works to get guys open. I don't know that anybody has more play-action pass in their arsenal than Kyle Shanahan does. And so the offense works. Guys got to stay on the field to make it work right now.
Damon and I were talking a little bit earlier about, some of these silly, it's the silly season as we get into some of the rookies showing up and training camps opening up and, the lists that come out this time of the year about coaches, et cetera. Kyle Shanahan, year number 3, 10-22. I mean, how do you evaluate what Kyle Shanahan has done here, especially given the hand that he was dealt when he walked in and certainly some of the circumstances last year that led to the record?
Yeah, I mean, look, the record at this point, to be honest with you, Darren, is just kind of meaningless. I mean, 10-22 isn't good. Not a lot of guys survive 10-22. But, they got a commitment from the front office and from the York family, for John Lynch and Kyle, to build this thing. So, you can only accumulate so much talent for so long, and you got to start turning it into wins. I mean, they've been drafting at the top of the draft. They've had elite money to be able to spend to go out, and get the Dee Fords of the world. It's now just time to put it together. And so, really, to me, it's kind of tabula rasa right now. I mean, it's just a clean slate. Go win 10 games and nobody will care about being 10-22 the first 2 years of your career. Go win 10 games this year and go get yourself a wild card spot, go compete for the division, and people will go, Kyle Shanahan's a good coach. He's got a good staff. John Lynch has done a good job of building it. But, double-digit wins is what it's going to take for people to start saying that.
Brian Baldinger here on the Damon Bruce Show. Always good talking football with him. It means we're getting closer and closer. It's going to be the last year for the Raiders. In many ways, it feels like it might be the last year for Derek Carr unless he figures it out quickly. He was put together with Antonio Brown, and I feel like in order to have Gruden believe in what he's putting together, he's got to show some early results here. The honeymoon is over. I thought a few years ago Derek Carr was among the young, up-and-coming, possibly, in line to be a great young quarterback. He has backed off of that. Do you think he can get it back again?
Well, I thought when Derek Carr won the job 4 years ago that he won it because he attacked and he was aggressive and he was confident. If you watch his game against Seattle in London last year, he was the least confident quarterback in the league. I mean, he couldn't wait to get the ball out of his hands, and for a good reason. I mean, the offensive line played atrocious that day. Frank Clark ruined the left side most of the day. I mean, it was just not a pretty picture. And I didn't know if Derek Carr could get it back, but I thought he did. He started off turning the ball over a great deal to start the season. A lot of red zone interceptions against the Dolphins. Just some bad throws. And I thought as the season went on, he got a lot of that out of the system. I thought he played better. I thought the team played better. So I'm sure John Gruden and Mike Mayock are looking hard at Derek Carr going, you know, he's got to get back to where he was in 2000, I guess it's 17, when they won 12 games and went to the playoffs. I mean, that's where they got to get back to right now. And he's got to get back to that. And if they can, you can't do a whole lot more in one off season what the Raiders just did. Now, whether they hit on all these players or not, I don't know. But you can't spend a whole lot more money. You can't get more than 3 first-round draft picks to come in and help rebuild this thing. We all know they jettisoned a lot of great talent on that team. Now let's see what they did with it. But it does start with Derek Carr. I believe he's under the microscope. And if he can get back to 2016-17, he could be the long-term answer for him.
Brian Baldinger, always a pleasure, man. When are you going to make it out to the West Coast? I know your duties pull you everywhere throughout training camp. Are we going to see you in the Bay Area?
Yeah, I'm actually heading to Los Angeles to do some training camp shows to see the Rams and Cowboys and the Chargers. I'm going to be up there, I believe, on August 8th, Thursday. I think I'll be up there to see both the Raiders and your 49ers there, Damon. So look forward to a little trip to the Bay Area.
Really looking forward to seeing you whenever you're in town, brother. Thank you so much for your time. 18-game NFL schedule with players only playing 16. Is that realistic, or do you think that we're going to have 18 games with players playing 18 games? Like, that sounds more realistic to me.
Yeah, the idea floated that the players only play 16 and the teams play 18 will never fly. I mean, if Tom Brady's sitting on a sideline for 2 games, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. None at all. So, you know, for the New Orleans Saints to march out there and play a game in the Superdome without Drew Brees, sitting in a baseball cap and just, you know, playing with his kids, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So, I mean, you can talk about all these different – the fact is there's going to be an 18-game schedule. The players will be compensated. They'll be prorated at some level. The teams will make more money. It's been talked about because the preseason, really, the way that it's being used right now, shortchanges the fans. And if you don't placate the fans at some point, you're going to lose fans. So the coaches may not like it. It may not be fair to a lot of players trying to make a team that aren't drafted. But that's just the way the game changes right now. There's going to be a 2-game preseason schedule, and there's going to be an 18-game schedule. It's going to be a 20-week season. Maybe there's an extra bye week in there, Damon. But I don't think there's anything stopping the momentum of getting to an 18-game schedule.
A voice of reason in a world of madness, Brian Baldinger. Best breakdown of footage you're going to see on Twitter. Follow him right now, at BaldyNFL. Brian, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Damon. Take care, Darren.
See you, bud.
See you guys down the road.
I mean, if that guy's good, I watch Brian Baldinger break down Twitter film, and I wonder, why isn't he a coach?
I would pay to sit in the room with guys like Brian Baldinger and just see it through their eyes. You know, there's that great line from the movie Good Will Hunting. Some people look at a piano and they just see 88 keys. Other people see music.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's him. Like, he just sees things so differently than the rest of us do. Even those of us who have dedicated our lives to being in sports media, he just sees things. The one play that he pointed out on Twitter is something that might have passed everybody by, but it was an important point about Joe Staley, and effort being a big factor for the Niners.
The players who understand the game, who understand game film, speak a language that people in the media often regurgitate but never truly understand. I mean, it's truly amazing what these guys who are the pros see, know, and how they implement it. So your name would absolutely qualify as a name game possible name because Darren Smith is 2 first names.
Correct.
So is Damon Bruce. Our name game contestant today has 2 first names. The last name, it's definitely a first name, but this is on the edge. We'll see if this one happens quickly. I've already given the clue. We're not giving another one, but I'm going to tell you we're playing to go see Bush. Oh, I'll give you more details in just a second. Bush, you remember Bush?
Oh, yeah.
Like Gavin Rossdale? Glycerine guy?
Yeah, now he was married to
Gwen Stefani for
correct.
A heartbeat?
Still is? Is
I don't know.
You're not up to date on your People magazine?
I can tell you this. I have absolutely no idea. I know for a fact my wife knows this. If she's listening, she's probably going to text the correct answer.
Perfect.
Not because of him. She just knows what Gwen Stefani is doing at all time. Anyways, the name game, backed by popular demand, Bush tickets. Bush by popular demand? I don't know, but they're playing. Why not? We'll give you more details in just a second. You can get in line right now. 888-957-9570 to play the name game, sweeping the nation every Wednesday, 420. Yeah, man. On the Damon Bruce Show right now, Elena. Hello.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, okay. You know, the text line's calling us out here a little bit, Darren. Before we get into today's name game, I said that you would be a qualifier for the name game. And someone's like, Smith? A first name? It really isn't a first name. I've never met someone who's like, hi, I'm Smith Archibald.
Wait, you guys never watched Sex and the City?
That's what I said.
Oh, there was a Smith on...
Jared, but...
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In the text line's defense, that wasn't... Samantha made that name for him.
Oh. Well, I missed that one.
By the way, Gwen Stefani is now with Blake Shelton. We got a lot of people say, the only reason why I know this is because of The Voice. Oh, shut up. You're all over your People magazines and your Us Weeklies.
You're telling on yourselves. We can see it right there, and we've got your numbers, too.
By the way, my wife was all over that. It is officially time to play the name game. We do have an open line still. 888-957-9570 is the number. I can promise you this. Today's name game participant is absolutely a gentleman with a first name and a last name that both qualify as first names. You can go ahead and give us a call to get into the name game right now to win a pair of reserve seats to see Bush live on their ultimate tour going down at the Concord Pavilion on Wednesday, August 7th. Tickets are on sale now at LiveNation.com. So glycerine yourself all the way to go see Bush, little Gavin Rossdale. All right, let's officially do this. We got every single lit line is blinking. You all know the rules by now here for the name game. You get a yes or no question. If you hear me say yes, you can ask another question or take your guess. If you hear the word no, we're going to be hanging up and going to the very next caller. You're going to want to keep score. You're going to want to track the answers. That will help you narrow it down. Good. Got it. Great. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for
The Name Game.
Starring anyone with two first names.
What's your name?
My name?
Dirt first. It's a funny name.
What'd you say his name was again?
His name is Ricky. Ricky Bobby.
Ricky Bobby. He's got two first names.
Now, here's your host with two first names, Damon Bruce.
All right, it's officially time to play the name game today. Going early. A tough position to be in, but them's the breaks. We go to Frankie in San Ramon for our very first call of the day. Frankie, what is your yes or no question?
Does he play basketball?
No, thank you very much. This is Fernando in San Jose. Fernando, yes or no question, what do you got?
Does he play baseball?
Yes, he does.
Is it Homer Bailey?
Whoa! Huh. That didn't take long at all. Wow. My goodness. I need like a you just won triumphant button here. What do we want to use?
Ta-da.
I was going to go with.
Si, mijo.
Fernando, you are going to see that. Wow. Two callers. That's I think that might be a record. I put Fernando on hold there. Fernando, you're going to go see Bush down at the Concord Pavilion. I gave away way too generous of a clue at the top of the hour.
Well, I think that was something. You've got such a loyal following here. I'm sure people started thinking about who would be the name for the name game. So, you know, that just came into play. It's topical. It happened to be today that he debuted. So, yeah, I would think that probably was on the tip of a lot of tongues out there.
I'm guilty of becoming predictable because we pull names sort of like from that week's headlines. Mm-hmm. And obviously Homer Bailey. He got the start for the A's today, and I believe he got the win in his debut. Is that game? Are we all final?
We're all final.
We are indeed. The Giants sweep the Rockies, and the A's win once again wearing the Kelly green. And like I said, we got good baseball on both sides of the bay for the first time really in a long time. And it was 11-8 win for the Giants today. Again, they swept the Rockies. They're continuing to point themselves towards the second wild card. Meanwhile, the Oakland A's, a 10-2 winner over the Mariners. Homer Bailey, like I said, gets his first win in the Kelly green. The Kelly green is pretty much all they're rocking right now. They hit six homers today, which is a real nice way for Homer Bailey to go out and make that debut. Yeah, six homers, a run support. It's pretty good. 888-957-9570. Omar in the city. What do you got, Omar?
Oh, man, you know what? I just wanted to talk about the Raiders, man. You know what?
with them being on the Hard Knocks thing, you know, I just see disaster written all over Raider Nation. You know, I think with Derek Carr and what you're talking about, how, like, this is his, you know, final call. And I think the first quarter of football, if he doesn't get Antonio Brown that ball, it's going to be a done deal.
Look, we know that Antonio Brown wore out his welcome and put a future Hall of Fame quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger on blast in a way that, you know, no one really ever has. I mean, we've had more people in the media try to blast up Ben Roethlisberger than the way Antonio Brown reacted to that. Wasn't happy with the balls he was getting. And look, Ben might not be good at taking blame for when things are going wrong, but I could see how Antonio Brown will become, I could see how he absolutely does as much to damage Derek Carr's standing on this team as much as he could do to help it.
Well, let's not remember it wasn't just the dynamic between the quarterback and the receiver. You know, there was other stuff there. I mean, he loves himself some social media, and we found that out when there was a live stream coming out of a Steelers post-game locker room, which the head coach was not a fan of. So, right. You know, it wasn't an act that was wearing thin just in the dynamic of the quarterback and the wide receiver. You know, that was an organization that got pretty fed up with Antonio Brown. And in fact, now maybe he comes here and he's on best behavior. Who knows?
Antonio Brown got fed up with an organization that put him in position to be the most used, the most productive, the most dangerous wide receiver in all of football. I doubt that John Gruden and Derek Carr put him in an identical situation. Would anything other than an identical situation possibly be met negatively by him? Yeah, there's a chance of that happening, and we do know this. A lot of times when there's a war between a wide receiver and a quarterback, the choice for the head coach is not a hard head choice. He chooses to side with the quarterback. Mike Tomlin just did that. Derek Carr was forced upon John Gruden. John Gruden went way out of his way to bring in Antonio Brown. Whatever Antonio says goes.
Can we remember one thing, too, about the organization that got rid of Antonio Brown? There's history here. That organization over the last decade or so, decade plus, let's go back 12 years. I don't have the exact dates in front of me, but they know when to get rid of wide receivers. They've had Santonio Holmes, who helped them win a Super Bowl. Didn't last much longer. Sanders, Wallace, like they have they've got that position seemingly. Now, this guy's better than all of that, but that organization, speaking about Pittsburgh, they know when to fold the wide receiver hand, don't they?
And by the way, of all the organizations in the NFL, I don't know if there's one right now with a bigger blind spot at that position than the Niners. Mm-hmm. They have an awful lot to correct there.
Sure. I mean, history has told us that.
A.J. Jenkins, come on.
They love that position. So, yeah, I would say there's a couple of things at play. Again, I think the guy's an incredibly talented player. I think Roethlisberger deserves a little bit of criticism here for going public. You didn't have to go on your radio show, Ben, and start criticizing the route running of your wide receivers. That said, that organization, it has a real knack for knowing when it's time for those guys to go.
The Niners are definitely a popular pick. NFL pundits, I mean, all over, are saying that this is going to be a team that's going to surprise everybody. And Peter King just yesterday said that he put out his top, you know, teams in the NFL, and he's got them coming in seventh over. They're the seventh best team according to Peter King's power rankings. And he says that, look, outside of floor produce tying up the Niners, things could go well.
If Jimmy Garoppolo slips on a banana peel in September, they're not making the playoffs. But I don't think that you look at Jimmy Garoppolo the same way that I don't think you look at Carson Wentz necessarily and say, well, you know, they're doomed to a life of being injury prone. Having said that, I think you got to prove. They have to prove that they can stay upright. But I believe, in my opinion, if Garoppolo plays 16 games this year, I'm picking the 49ers to go to the playoffs.
There you go. Peter King on the record. He'll be joining us each and every week when we asked him about the rest of the the additions made. Obviously, D Ford is a big piece to whether the 49ers are going to point themselves towards relevancy by pointing themselves towards the quarterback.
If I am D Ford, and this is going to be very interesting to see how he reacts, but if I am D Ford, what I am thinking is Andy Reid thought that I wasn't good enough to be part of a Super Bowl team. And that, to me, would be a major piece of motivation for him this year. I think that's going to be a huge thing to watch this year because, in my opinion, look, I think we all would look at the way Ford played last year, and we would all say that he's very worthy of what this team paid for him. But he's going to have to do it. He's going to have to prove it a second year.
A chip on his shoulder? Look, Dee Ford is probably the reason why the Kansas City Chiefs weren't in the Super Bowl last year. His error at the end of the game, lining up offsides that nullified a Brady interception, is why the Patriots came back and won that game. I'm not saying that a lot of guys wouldn't survive that moment, but a lot of guys would not survive that moment. The fact that Andy Reid let him go might be more predicated on that moment and the investment that it would take to keep him around than he was willing to make. I don't think. First, and let me also say this, this is going to sound a little arrogant, but I mean it. What does Andy Reid know about Super Bowls?
Well, he's been to one. And
he's come up short countless times in countless different clock management, all on him ways, maybe than more than any other coach in football, right?
Yep. And if history repeats itself like it so often does, remember what just think about what Peter King said there. Like, how motivated is Dee Ford going to be after, you know, the implied logic of you're not good enough to help us get to the Super Bowl? Well, remember, there was a guy last offseason named Marcus Peters who was part of that Kansas City defense as well, who was probably feeling something similar when he got traded. I think it was a trade to the L.A. Rams. Well, where'd the Rams end up last season? So maybe if history does, in fact, repeat itself, and if you believe in that sort of thing, with the, you know, the extra motivation that comes from feeling shunned, well, we saw it the previous year. I'm not saying it's going to happen here, but maybe there's a little something to that.
Dee Ford got to quarterbacks. Dee Ford turned the ball over. The 49ers last year did not get to quarterbacks, nor did that defense turn the ball over. I don't know if they're going to be in a position for him to be lined up offsides on a play that prevents them from going to the Super Bowl.
But so you take it.
We'll cross that bridge when we get there. I'd like to see 8-8 first. I really, really would.
8-8, actually, that's right on the number. Now, you and I were just talking about whether we throw a couple of bucks down on sports wagering anymore. I've got a long and complicated history with sports wagering, but you mentioned 8. That is the Vegas number for the Niners.
Yeah, I'm just a location gambler. If I'm not in Vegas, I'm not gambling.
Exactly. So if you had to, though, gun to your head, over or under on the 8?
I would hit the over. Only because I want to watch some good football, and because I really think that should Garoppolo stay healthy and Shanahan stay savvy, they cranked out middle-of-the-road NFL offensive performance, if not better, with a third-string quarterback last year. I mean, give me Garoppolo, more weapons, a much more interesting backfield, maybe a hint of a defense. And again, don't forget, he's got a tight end who might be one of the best weapons in all of football, according to Peter King.
George Kittle was such a massive weapon all over the field for the Niners that, I mean, imagine what he's going to be like with a quarterback who, in an ideal world, he's targeted 130 times this year. He ought to have 105 catches. There's not going to be a lot of balls hitting the ground thrown to George Kittle. I'd be very excited if I was a Niners fan that, you know, we might be seeing the birth of the best tight end in franchise history.
Here's who George Kittle is. George Kittle is the one. If you'd like to go ahead and buy a 49er jersey next year that you know you're not going to have to trade in for a new one because the guy's not on a team a few years from now, George Kittle's the safest bet on the team. George Kittle, years in this uniform, barring injury. He is a stud, and he's likable. He's easy to root for.
Oh, well, that's the best. I mean, I was very fortunate for the last 15 years to watch a guy named Antonio Gates play that position.
Not bad.
Yeah, and you would say when you hear King say, you know, hey, he might be the best tight end in franchise history, you start saying that sort of thing, you think about who the great tight ends have been. You know, never, ever in a million years would you dream that somebody like Gates would replace Winslow, but yet here we are. That position in particular, man, it really is like the queen piece on the chessboard.
The San Francisco Giants today, for the very first time this season, won 5 games in a row. It doesn't sound like much. It really isn't, but it's the high watermark of any winning streak so far in the year for the Giants. They just swept a 4-game series at Coors Field for the first time since 2011. They outscored the Rockies 40-15 en route to the sweep. They have scored 10 runs or more 6 times in the last 14 games, which is definitely an aberration because they had scored 10 or more runs only 5 times in the previous 151 games. What has gotten into the Giants? I do not know. Is it good that this has gotten into the Giants? We asked Richard Justice about that earlier today and the Farhan Zaidi decision ahead.
The plan he had for the season has not developed in the way he expected. And so what do you do now? Do you send a Hall of Fame manager out in style? You know, do you tell fans to plan for opening day next year by trading Bumgarner and Smith, which was the original plan? That's a very tough call.
They've won 12 of 14. They're now 2.5 back of the wild card.
And they are creeping closer to that important 500. We talked about it yesterday.
Like, got
to
be 500.
Talk to us about, yeah, right. We get to 500, we'll start looking at the standings and how many games back. Speaking of Farhan, too, you have to give the credit here because some of these players, well, it was Alex Dickerson last night, who I think went 4 for 5, and even his one out was a noisy out as well. You saw some of the catches that were made last night from Pilar. I mean, these are players, you know, these young players, you hear it all the time in baseball, like, oh, young enthusiasm inside of the clubhouse. Well, that's great, but if they can't play, then who cares?
Right.
Right? Like, who cares if they're young and enthusiastic, right? Who cares if the kids can't play? And again, some of these guys, it's probably not fair to label them as kids. They're not 19, 20-year-olds. But the new players with Pilar, with Yastrzemski, with even Alex Dickerson, you look who's doing it day after day after day. I guess they're proving to this coaching staff, they're proving to the rest of the veterans inside of that clubhouse who maybe goes, oh my gosh, we're relying on Yastrzemski, we're relying on Pilar, and we're relying on who? Alex Dickerson, who we picked up on the, he wasn't good enough for the Padres.
Right. Hey, right? Look.
And like that, and then now that they're showing something, maybe that's lifting everybody up in the clubhouse.
You were relying on Gorky's Hernandez this time last year. I mean, you were relying on Hunter Pence and whatever is left in that gas can. And there was nothing left. I mean, I can't believe that Hunter Pence is having the year that Hunter Pence is having. I think all of us are stunned. The Giants have to be absolutely stunned that he has gone to Texas and he has done this with the Rangers. Let's see if the Giants can get. Okay, so here's the deal. They're cranking out offense over a clip of games, which is one of the greatest clips in the history of the San Francisco Giants. That's not hyperbole. They are scoring runs in bunches in a way that they never, ever, ever have in the history of the franchise since moving to this town. What does it really mean? I don't know. But to me, it can't mean go for it. It can't mean. It can't. What is really who you are? 3 hot weeks or the 3 months that led up to that? Who are you? Who are you really? We know that you might have been a little bit more limited talent-wise. Maybe that's the shame to really play on the Giants year. Too bad you didn't start the year with Alan Dickerson in your system. Too bad you didn't start the year with Mike Yastrzemski as part of the answer because you had to go Connor Joe for whatever reason. So now that it's starting to come together, it's probably coming together in a weird way, and it's a wrong time, but at the same time, it's been such an unwatchable season of baseball. Good, great. Go to the World Series. I really don't even care anymore. Like, do something to entertain me, Major League Baseball. I freaking dare you.
Well, what's it going to look like tomorrow for you at Oracle? I mean, they come back home. They're on this run. It's Bumgarner, Syndergaard, Mets in town.
Okay, I would not be surprised if they were shut out 5-0 while Pete Alonso hit one off the Coke bottle. Okay? Like, that is
so you're,
what
you're
we're
Lucy
used
in
to.
The football here.
Oh, no. This is how it always goes. Giants got a little life to them. They're cooking. They're looking better. They're looking good. And then they come home, and they collectively forget how to hit the ball out of the infield. It happens all the time. So will this be the time it doesn't happen? If it doesn't, all right, then maybe you get to play the you got 1 foot in, you got 1 foot out of the trade deadline, and you got the Will Smith in, but the Bumgarner's not for you. Like, let's see what happens. Let's see what the hell happens. I tell you what, are you about to like turn a corner where you're now going to be a contender? Come home, sweep the Mets, then we'll talk.
I was going to say, Mets for 4, Mets are 44-51, and they are have a general manager who's chucking chairs around the clubhouse, followed by the Cubs for three, sitting on top of the NL Central at 52-44. So there you have it, the next seven right in front of you at Oracle. You said three out of four from the Mets, they'll show you a little something.
Yeah.
Then you get the Cubs back in here as well. And this is, I do think that the one thing that Justice brought up was, is the Bochy angle. You know, like, because he's there, and because of what he's meant, and because of what he's represented. I do think that that must give you some pause other than just, well, this was our blueprint before the start of the season, and that's that.
But the thing is, shouldn't have that motivated you to come out of spring training a lot better than you did?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone was ready to burn it all down, leaving Scottsdale. The Giants were going to suck. We knew it. They knew it. They were essentially punting on the year the minute you heard that Connor Joe was starting opening day right field.
Yep.
Nothing says we ain't going nowhere fast.
Connor
More
Joe.
Than Connor Joe opening day right field, for goodness sake. So the whole, like, if you were going to do it for Boach, like, Love should have brought your ass home last night. You know what I mean? Like, if that
it's
was
such a long season, though, Damon. It's 162. I mean, it's just, it's hard. And then you had to find the right pieces. You had to say, okay, hey, listen, give Farhan some credit. Connor Joe was pretty terrible. So they tried and tried, and they found somebody to go out and play that position.
The Giants, as hot as they've been all year, catch Colorado cooling off, with the exception of the summer days in Colorado, which are all at altitude. Colder, sea level, the Mets have won four in a row. We'll know more about the Giants after this Met and Cub series than we do right now. Skeeter, Daly City, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I'm actually an A's fan leaving the A's game. We just won 10-2. But I had a notice that the Giants have won a lot of games lately. The Raiders drafted a guy out of Alabama in the first round. Hey, the guy might be good. But as long as you're making a living out of being negative, you're doing all right, homie. Let me tell you something. Why don't you say something positive on these Bay Area airways instead of just ripping everybody? What are you doing for us lately, homie?
Huh? What do I have to do with the fact that the A's had 97 wins and an echo chamber last year? What do I have to do with the Raiders literally leaving your city for the second time? I have nothing to do with that. I've done an awful lot of A's segments, and I did it in years in a row where the return from A's fans was nothing. We didn't have an audience. We didn't have conversation. And now that, you know, we're like, okay, well, you know, we gave you a chance, and now you left. And now you're like, oh, but what about us? Look, you had your shot, man. You had your freaking shot. In the last 7 years, you didn't call once. It didn't mean nothing. And there we are. I can tell you right now that the San Francisco Giants, as bad as they've been, have crippled the A's in terms of ratings and interest. And that's the way it is, man. Like, I'm tired of having to cater to your insecurities. If you love the A's as much as you want. But you never loved the A's hard enough on my show to move the needle, not once in the 5 years that I was trying to lead the conversation to, hey, let's get a new ballpark. You're not any closer to a new ballpark today than you were when I started on this station 5 years ago. Oh, but what about the call me when the shovel hits the ground. You actually used the word gondola last year. We ain't doing gondola technology, kids. That's where we are. We're decidedly anti-gondola.
I would just like the record to show that I brought up their run differential earlier. So
yeah, and oh, by the way, I've been talking about the A's more today than any time. They're playing great baseball.
Yep.
Matt Chapman is Nolan Arenado in the American League. Might even be even better. Because you know what? I don't see what Nolan Arenado does defensively. I know he's a really good defender. But what this guy does defensively is amazing. I saw the guy who did the batting stance guy. Last night he put out a fantastic batting stance tribute to Matt Olson, where he just kept on extending his arms over a pretend home plate. I retweeted it. Bravo. Look, I'm talking. I'm interested. I like baseball. Play good baseball. Do something. We'll pay attention. We'll pay attention. But you're the side stage of Lollapalooza. That's the way it goes. You knew that when you didn't buy the ticket for the winning streak you haven't showed up to yet. All of this is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Why are the 49ers such a popular sleeper team? Why you should sleep on them, and maybe why you shouldn't. We're going to do that at 5 o'clock, 888-957-9570. Open lines to you here on 95.7 The Game. Look, I don't want to argue with anyone, and I certainly don't want to rub anyone the wrong way. There's no reason to scream about anything. Both baseball teams in the Bay are playing great for the first time all summer. We have happiness on both sides of the bridge. Let's be happy. Look, you understand business. You understand this is a business. Doing business on the other side of the bridge is a lot worse than doing business on this side. And that's just the way it goes, my friends. And you know, I got people saying, hey, man, if you went ahead and you did a week of this, you'd have a ton of calls. And we would, from the same small group of people that are interested. Unfortunately, we're not interested in small groups of people. It's not what broadcasting is about. The key word in broadcasting is broad.
Yes, much, many, more. Not that I'm going to wade into this conversation because this is your area of expertise, not mine. But I will just say, as somebody who comes from a market where there's one pro sports team.
There you go.
I'm sitting going, yeah, these guys got it pretty good.
Right.
Yeah, these guys got it pretty good up here.
So we do know that the A's are doing like their podcast now, or they do like a thing where you got to follow them on Twitter. I just checked. They're followed by 1,400 people. You've had it all year long. 1,400 followers they've picked up. 1,400. We're looking for bigger numbers than that, kids, and that's why we're doing it. And I don't want to have to explain this again. We all know what happened here. If you're an A's fan, be excited about your team. They could end up winning the division. They could end up going to the World Series. God bless. Interesting, fun, young team. I enjoy watching them. I do.
Hey, that's something Richard Justice from MLB.com said earlier. He said they're good enough four games back to potentially make a run, not only at the wild card, which everybody had presumed forever, but to potentially make a run at the division. So there you go. That's one big voice right there.
888-957-9570. Let's go to Dave in San Jose. Hello, Dave. What's up?
Why you got to be so negative, homie? I'm just kidding.
thank you.
Hey, so I got two questions for you. I hope the first one doesn't get you in trouble with any more callers. But the first one would be, in your guys' opinion, do you see the A's reaching first place or the Giants hitting a wild card first? Who gets there first? Number two is a little off topic, Pacquiao Thurman opinions, and that's all I got. I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you.
Pacquiao is all done. I don't care what he does next in his career. I'm good. If I never saw Manny Pacquiao fight again, I'd be cool with that. Was a great, great fighter back in the day. That day is long gone.
I'm surprised that he doesn't have people in his inner circle who can't keep him out of the ring, because we've seen him beaten so badly in the ring, whether he was injured or not, really isn't the point for me. Like, the human head is not intended to be punched that many times over and over again, and we have seen that head punched a lot.
Too, and I just know that, you know, watching how it ended for Muhammad Ali, I don't know. There's probably people in Camp Pacquiao who should be pulling him out of rings, but those are the people who probably push him back into the ring more than anyone else because he's their meal ticket.
He's a payday for them, everybody. Across the board, he's a huge payday.
Better chance, Giants wild card, A's division. I got to go A's division, because if Farhan Zaidi doesn't pull the ripcord on this trade deadline, I think they're looking at fool's gold. Where, as Darren pointed out earlier today, the Oakland A's have a better run differential than the Houston Astros, who they're chasing down right now. Now, the Giants got to leapfrog a lot of teams. They're both chasing tough rabbits to catch, but I think the Giants should get out of the race, and obviously the A's are still very much in it.
And it comes down, obviously, I think it would come down to the trade deadline, right? Like, who's going to add? Who has the ability to add a huge piece? You know, if you're thinking about Houston, Richard Justice also told us earlier, and it's not privileged information at all, but amongst the contenders, for a Madison Bumgarner in exchange in a trade, the Astros would be on the other side. The Minnesota Twins would be on the other side. So I wouldn't put anything past the Astros, their ability to add a big piece like that. I don't know what Homer Bailey is, not Madison Bumgarner, with all respect. I know he went out one. Okay, great. But what more can they add? Because that's usually what this is all about, is figuring out what else is out there, what you can add onto your squad.
Giants are, or the A's are trying to figure out, do they need to go outside for more help? Do they have some reinforcements coming up through their own minor league system as guys get healthy, recover from Tommy John's that took place a year and a half ago? Hopefully guys are rounding back into shape. Meanwhile, Richard Justice on Farhan Zaidi and how much the plan has changed due to the success wave that they're on right now.
There's no textbook for this when you have it planned one way and you've been a pleasant surprise the other. But I know Farhan well enough to know that he's enjoying the winning. And you don't, if you see this window realistically, I would guess they're going to go for it. I don't see them folding their tent.
Go for it. Go for it.
Really?
That's what he said.
They can't.
That's Richard Justice.
But they can't.
Go for it.
They can't. I mean, look, Farhan Zaidi is literally here to tell us when it's time to leave the bar.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that, he is the chaperone of the Giants party right now, and he needs to come in and say, kids, I know you're all having a great time, but last dance. Madison Bumgarner's final home start tomorrow could be the last dance. It's last dance, and we got to go home. Someone needs to be the adult in the room, and that guy's name is Farhan.
Okay, but let me just ask, because you know, again, you know this better, and this is what I would ask. Is there somebody above Farhan who could step in and say, hold on, we know what you, we hired you. I hate the term to be the bad guy, because if he gets the Giants to where all the Giants fans hope they will be, then he's not going to be the bad guy. But you wanted him to come in here and not be emotional, not be attached to the players that he was inheriting, correct? Stop me when I'm wrong here, because again, this is only day three for me, so
no.
I don't want to sound like the know-it-all.
So the one guy who would have been Mr. Let's make as much romance and the nostalgia of contending as possible is probably Larry Bear. Larry Bear's status with the Giants has been diminished quite a bit since he had an incident with his wife in a public space, and I'm sure you know exactly mm-hmm. what happened there.
Yep.
I think Larry's voice doesn't carry in the way of baseball operations it used to, and he might have been the guy to do the let's one more for Boch speech. I don't know. Maybe that's an unfair characteristic of Larry even, but I think that he would have been the most likely candidate to that approach, and I don't know if he's allowed to even approach with that idea anymore, even though he didn't lose title. Status was lost.
So do you think the people who show up tomorrow, Giants return back home, they're on this incredible run, which we've discussed, are more people showing up, in your opinion? I'm only going to give you these two options because they're the simplest two. Are they there because they believe? Or are they there because this could be it for Mad Bum? Like, this could be it for him. Like, this might be our last opportunity. The answer is probably a little bit of both. But what would you say if they get a good crowd tomorrow, which hasn't always been the case, okay, at least not when I've tuned in to watch the Giants play?
Right. It's been a tough year for the attendance,
yeah.
Butts in seats at Oracle Park.
So if they get a big one there tomorrow night on a Thursday night with Syndergaard, Madison Bumgarner, would you say it's more, hey, this team has opened some eyes here, this team is rolling in the right direction, or it's more, hey, I'm sentimental, I'm going tomorrow because I don't know if I'm going to get this opportunity again?
50% sentimentality, 30% we just bought the tickets because we saw the Mets were on the schedule and we're either Mets fans or we picked this as the, you know, middle of July when we were traveling to San Francisco, so we were going to be there. We wanted to get to the ballpark anyways. And then I really, really hope that the smallest percentage of whatever tomorrow night's attendance is there because they really think, here it goes. This is where it all begins. The shot, the run. We got it. It's what is it, 2009? Oh, by the way, it's an odd year, so it can't be because Giants get excited in even years. So, no, that crowd tomorrow night is probably better wired to go get one last look at a guy who did as much for your franchise pitching for it as anyone who's ever pitched for this franchise, and this franchise has a bevy of historically significant pitchers. Madison Bumgarner is the guy you would want one last look at if you were allowed one last look. And tomorrow might be that one last look. To talk about attendance, got a guy here on the text line just saying tickets to tomorrow night's game are going for $10 on StubHub. Look, Giants tickets, Madison Bumgarner, final start, New York Mets in town. They're bringing Pete Alonso, who today hit a home run to what state is north of Minnesota? Canada?
I think it's, the 51st state, Canada.
Yeah, okay. Today, Pete Alonso hit a home run to Winnipeg, Canada. It's still traveling. I mean, it went 470. It was a home run derby level home run. Third decker. He could hit a Coke bottle tomorrow. Let's see that happen.
I think I'm going tomorrow.
I'm definitely going, and I'm just going to tell you what's going to happen, man. And I hope I'm wrong.
Okay.
I hope I'm wrong to see in the let's hope I'm wrong. Albie, let me just ask you. Greater chance of happening tomorrow based on what you really know about this team. Not what you want, but what you really know about this team. Greater chance of happening tomorrow. Crooked numbers and a mad bum win, or no run support and a mad bum loss?
Ooh, I'm starting to feel it, Damon. I'm starting to feel it. I think this is kind of funky, man. It's a little magic dust being sprinkled over this team. I'm going to go crooked number. Shutout.
Because this team hits like a monster at home, right?
They're terrible at home. I'm concerned for tomorrow.
20-26.
If tomorrow, if you get goose egg tomorrow, are we done with this?
I mean, it is Syndergaard.
Okay. What is, how many?
Well, you're going to have to face those kind of pitchers if you're going into the postseason.
Right. Mike Yastrzemski better be 4-for-4. You know what I mean? Yeah. Against this guy.
Alex Dickerson. Lighting it up. The new Tony Gwynn.
Hashtag.
Never and I mind. Say that, by the way, because Tony Gwynn was a big influence on Alex Dickerson.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well,
shouldn't he be a big influence on every single hitter in baseball?
Well, they would gravitate towards San Diego every chance they could to do it.
Like, look, getting to Oracle, getting to Oracle Park and looking good offensively. All right, you know what? If that happens, we'll reevaluate where our position is tomorrow. But we are here to not fall in love with small sample sizes. Even the success of the Giants is a small sample size in the comparison of who they were throughout the rest of the year.
But it looks different, doesn't it, when they put the standings up on the big board out there? It does look different than when they left. And again, it's temporary. We all understand this. But they've jumped two teams, Damon, since we got off the air yesterday at 6 o'clock. So they're sitting there right in the middle. Psychologically, does that do something for you when you see yourself only trailing the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, but ahead of the Rockies and ahead of the Padres? Probably not, but it's a much better visual than it was. It's like we were saying earlier before when we were talking about Kyle Shanahan. Like, would winning week one be a huge boost for the Niners just because he's never coached a single day in San Francisco over 500? I don't mean the total record, which is 10-22, but he has no idea what it's like to be a head coach of a team that has a winning record. Like, does that impact you psychologically that you go, okay. Early in the season with all these batting averages, when a guy's hitting like 087, or 120, like, oh gosh, I hate looking up at that. You put that up on the board. They left, they were in fifth. They came back, they're in third. Does it do something for you?
Yeah, sure. How about this? It does nothing
for you. I can tell. It
doesn't do that much for me. It should do an awful lot for the players in that dugout. They're the most important guys in this equation. Like, go ahead. Everybody put 30 points on your batting average right now and have a, we were just slow playing the year. Now we're ready to compete season. If you're going to do that from here on out, God bless you. Probably the wrong way to approach this year.
Yep.
Totally honest with you. Where was all of this? Again, the Giants didn't come into 2019 feeling like they owed Bruce Bochy nothing. Why change it now? Why do you really change it now? I love Bruce, Hall of Fame. No matter what happens this year, he's in the Hall of Fame. No matter what happens this year, those checks are clearing for that dollar amount right there on that check. No matter what happens this year, Bruce Bochy doffs his cap, game number 81, and gets sent off a champion forever. I mean, like, the guy doesn't need to win another game to have his legacy secure. I'm sure he'd like to. He's going to be on at 5 o'clock tomorrow.
You know who needs to lose probably more games to have his legacy secure? Farhan Zaidi. Welcome to 5 o'clock.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.